Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is The Week in Review. It's an assassination attempt that has all of Europe talking. It's the story of the week. We'll count them down. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Man, there's a whole lot of talk coming out of Europe right now about the security and even possible civil war in the aftermath of the shooting of Robert Fico. This is a big deal. I mean, this is a big deal, and we've got a big deal panel to talk about it. Joining me now is Craig Pastajardula, who is the host of Pasta to Go, as well as Mel Kay, the host of the Mel Kay Show. Thanks to both of you for being with us. Okay, let's start with this. A political assassination that is caught on video. These are the times we live in, folks. A victim is the Prime Minister of Slovakia. Just days before he was shot, he affirmed his position that the only thing that his European counterpart should do is convince Ukraine to negotiate a truce, even if it means giving up some land. That's what he said. He said, give up the land, sit down and talk for the sake of peace. Now this. Yeah, that's the shooting there, and I'm telling you, everyone's talking about it. There's a lot of ramifications that come out of this, because in many ways, he is the one guy in Europe who was standing against what is conventional wisdom in Europe. Guys, let me bring you in this. Mel, I know you've been looking at this situation. Here you got Fico saying to the rest of the world, stop giving money to Ukraine. Let's find a way to find a peaceful solution in this situation. And everybody else is looking at him like he's crazy, and now he gets assassinated. You say what?
Well, I say also just before that, he had also spoken out that he was not behind the World Health Organization treaty. He also has said that the Green New Deal and what they're doing in Europe, especially the EU, in terms of greening everything and net zero is bad for their countries. And this is what happens, as you know, all over the world when people are not doing what they need to do, especially in this situation, I think connected to Agenda 2030 and the global governance plans and everything, all these billionaire globalist oligarchs that are running the parent companies of our countries want to achieve. Anyone that gets in the way, you know, they need to be taken out. This is not new. He's one of many. And sadly, there's color revolutions popping up all over the place. And we know from history that usually this is about the international banking cartel and their public-private partnership wanting to get people in line. And I hope this guy not only survives, but comes back stronger.
Well, here's the good news. We're getting most of the information we're getting so far is that he has survived the surgery and apparently he's going to be okay. But and to be journalistically responsible, we cannot at this point say that this guy who shot him had any connection to anything other than the fact that he decided. And this is a country right now. I don't know if you've been watching the situation in Slovakia. It's very tense there. And there's a lot of anger, and the media is playing into it a little bit like, let me think, maybe the United States. So we don't know if this is a conspiracy, if it was caused, or if it's connected to Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know this yet, but it certainly is leading to a lot of people and a lot of concern. You wanted to say, Craig.
No, I said it doesn't make a difference if it is an inside job, but this has, you know, fingerprints of an NED or another CIA subcontractor. I mean, this is the type of behavior we've been displaying all over that region anyways. And at the end of the day, no matter what, you know, the United States apparatus is going to come on in, the foreign policy goons, and they're going to try to take advantage of the whole situation. They're going to try to make Slovenia a partner in the war in Ukraine and try to keep that going on as long as they can. So, I mean, they've been looking for partners. They've been drawing lines in the sand. And I don't see them, like, not doing what they normally do and take advantage of this whole situation, that being the U.S. foreign policy apparatus.
I don't want to go beyond the place we should go with this now to be responsible, because you never know what they're going to find. But right now, you're absolutely right. You're both right. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't look good that the one of the few guys, except perhaps Orban and maybe a few others, who've come forward and disagreed with NATO on its policies, and the guy ends up being somebody attempts to assassinate him. It's not a pretty picture. By the way, not only is Ukraine yet not willing to talk peace, given the horrible condition of its country and its military, they're actually, the Ukrainians, that is, they're bombing a Russian city of Belgorod, and they're killing civilians. Watch this.
Oh,
You know, I got to tell you, not trying to be a Putin apologist or anything or defend Russia, but Russia has lately taken on more territory than it has since this thing begun. And I think there's been one civilian who wasn't even killed. The person was injured in the area around Kharkov. Now, what's interesting about that is every time these guys fire a missile into Russian territory, in this case, they injured 20, killed 9, 2 of those were children. Again, a disparity in the story. I don't know. Mel, we'll start with you again. You say what?
Well, I say that it's shocking and very disappointing that in 2024, people are dying in wars over territory when the truth is, I believe that the majority of human beings on planet Earth would like there to be no wars, but a group of what I believe to be about 50,000 people are deciding for all the rest of us that they need order out of chaos. I mean, this is just the beginning. They're sending now weapons to back to the Balkans. I mean, these people that are paying for both sides of all these wars seem to be pushing us to World War III when the actual people of planet Earth really would just like to move forward. We have all this money. We can have thriving societies, vegetation, electricity, power everywhere on planet Earth. And instead, this is what they're spending their money on, is killing innocent civilians. And frankly, hundreds of thousands of soldiers have died. For what? For who? And as we see through history, at the end of the day, who's rebuilding these places is who really benefits from these wars, not the people of this country or any of our countries.
I got something for you, Craig. I want to show you something. One more thing about Ukraine, by the way, the story that we all grew up with. I don't know if you remember this story, but it's the story of Nero fiddling while Rome burned. You remember that story? We all kind of have it in our heads. This week, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, he went to Kyiv, right? He was there to let President Zelensky know it's okay not to hold elections. Let me say that again. He told President Zelensky it's okay not to hold elections. Essentially, he's essentially then telling him that there's plenty of time to become a democracy in the future. Doesn't have to become a democracy just yet. And by the way, eventually we'll help them get there. We'll help them form a new democracy in their country at some point. But I thought this video that I'm about to show you is fascinating. It's Blinken in Kyiv at a nightclub. Remember when I mentioned Nero fiddling, right? Well, this ain't Nero. And it ain't Rome, but something is definitely burning. Watch. There you go. Not bad, right? But I suppose Nero was probably pretty good with the fiddle, too. What do you think of when you watch the Secretary of State of the United States going to a war-torn country in the middle of a war playing his electric guitar in Kyiv, man? What?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, I want to know if the show there was sponsored by BlackRock and State Street as we're talking about who's going to be rebuilding up Kyiv over there. It's crazy. And, you know, when I see Anthony Blinken singing Rocking in the Free World in Ukraine, it just makes me die inside, because it's the height of hypocrisy over here. They have ceased to be a free state since 2014, when the United States went in there with Victoria Nuland, Jeffrey Pyatt, an orange color of revolution. They took it over, and the United States did what they always do, and that's arm the craziest radical groups out there, like they did the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, like they did the Contras in Nicaragua. Well, here you go. We're going to arm Nazis, and they're going to kill people like they have, like 14,000 in the Donbass. That's why this latest attack, Rick, it doesn't surprise me. They've been doing this for quite some time. And what does the other alliance do? The Russians, the Chinese, and now Iran? When they strike back, they make sure they warn their enemy. They're just making a statement. They don't want to kill civilians. They're conducting war completely different than the way the United States and their allies conduct war, like Ukraine is bombing right now Russian cities.
You know, the thing that bothers me about this is that we're constantly being told that we have to give this $175 billion to Ukraine. Let me say that again. $175 billion of my tax money, your tax money, to Ukraine because they are a democracy and we are there to defend democracy. But now we're learning, according to our own Secretary of State, they are not a democracy. They are canceling their elections and declaring martial law. And then maybe at some point in the future, we will guide them in how to become a democracy. Mel, you say that. You say what about that comment by our Secretary of State, Blinken?
Well, basically, when they talk about defending democracy, they mean the institutions that they created. It's got nothing to do with the actual term democracy or anything to do with that. What's really damaging here, too, and as Pasta brought up, is that I fully believe that at least the United States, but frankly, I think there's a even above that, but this global public-private partnership that's running America like a parent company is seems to have their hands everywhere in the world. And when we talk about what's going on in Ukraine, and yet they're getting on stage at some gala to celebrate the halfway to their 2030 mark, and they're talking about $600 billion to rebuild Ukraine, which in 2015, the same newspapers were saying it was the most corrupt nation in Europe. It really should make you look at, well, who's rebuilding Ukraine and what are their plans there and where else do they have plans? Because frankly, I truly believe that we are at a point where these people are functioning all above our governments, and our regular governments have been captured by this these people that consider themselves stakeholders, and they want by any means necessary to take full total control. And that means that it doesn't matter how many people die or how many wars or how much they create. As long as they have the chaos to subdue us, to kind of accept what they want, they're going to continue until we say no more.
All right, I'm going to tease up the next story because we're going to go to break, but I want to tease it up by showing you a couple of pictures. If pictures are truly worth 1,000 words, then I think we have enough here for 2,000 words. Watch this video. Let's put it up. I want you to look at this, okay? On the right of your screen is Putin, right as we speak or so, heading to China, speaking with Xi. Look at the embrace. Look how they smile at each other. Now watch Xi with Macron. Xi with Macron, the dead fish handshake, like, you're not my friend, but stop with all the majesty here. And with Putin, it's a totally different look. Now, look, I'm not one of these people who can go around and say I can tell by somebody's body language what they're saying, but I'll tell you, in this case, there may be a story to tell, certainly in terms of the relationship between China and Russia, which seems to be flourishing more and more with each and every day, and it seems to be caused by the pushback that they're getting from the West. We'll talk about this when we come back. Stay right there.
I look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence, its own existence.
I'm Rick Sanchez with Craig and Mel. We're talking about some of the stories that have taken place this week. I want to take you back to this video in just a bit here. Now, remember, let me do the setup for you. So Macron invites President Xi of China to come to France. And he has all this pomp and ceremony and guards and music and everything. And she has this demeanor about him, almost like, you know, okay, yeah, I'll come here, I'll say hi, I'll shake your hand. But dude, I'm not sure I'm crazy about you. You're not my friend, you're not my bestie. Now, just this week, Putin goes to China. In China, talk about pomp and circumstance. They have bands, they've got floats, they've got parades. He's shaking hands with everybody. She's big, got a big smile on his face. They're almost but embracing like they are actually like besties. Just a very big difference as we compare these two images. Let's look at it one more time. And Craig, I want to get your reaction to this. Talk about geopolitics. Look at the picture on with Macron. Look at Macron pulling his hand. And look at the expression on Xi's face. And he's patting him on the back, but she's barely even reacting. Now look at the one with Putin, where they now it's she patting Putin on the back. It just, I don't know. I see it. Do you see it, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, well, what I see is that Xi is done with the West. I mean, everything has changed so much in these last 2 months. The writing is on the wall. When Anthony Blinken went to see Xi, there was a little clip that was leaked out of Xi asking one of his assistants, how long is he going to be here for? Oh, he's leaving tonight. Good. They're done. And, you know, when Blinken came, the rhetoric was definitely changed out there. Xi let Blinken know that the red line is, in fact, Taiwan, that they best not mess around. And then right after that meeting, even after the meeting, after, when Janet Yellen showed up showing Xi that she can use chopsticks, Xi went to two places. He went to Serbia and Hungary. Why? Because those are tight Russian allies. They're sewing up the division right now. They're separating themselves from the West. They're not just going after the low-hanging fruit. Oh, they're forming alliances there, and we better wake up to this.
They're being pushed out and being pushed together, I would argue. Yep. I mean, this whole thing that's going on in the global South with BRICS, et cetera, and countries like China and Russia and South Africa and Brazil and Iran and even some of the Middle Eastern countries, and I may have missed a couple, I don't know, but they're coming together out of necessity, and it's almost like our leaders, our old don't even want to say the word, who are in charge of our country, not only are they making it happen, but they don't see the consequences of what the hell they're doing, Mel.
Or do they see the consequences of what they're doing? Because as I contend, we have a parent company of a public-private partnership that has taken over America. There's billionaire globalist oligarchs that are invested in the foreign global governance model and a post, it appears to me, American economy that no longer really considers America their main source.
Yeah, but hold on. Even if everything you just said is true, how do they benefit from having a strong Russia, a strong China, a strong South Africa, a strong India, a strong Brazil, and a strong Iran creating a force against them? Where's the economic superiority in that? Where's the brilliance of that business move that you're describing? I think it's stupid, and I've run businesses.
Well, maybe the force isn't against them because BlackRock fully functions in the CCP, and the foreign policy advisor to the Biden campaign, to the Biden administration, used to work at BlackRock and now is running the CCP foreign policy. So, I mean, is it that the controlled demolition of our economy is for a reason? I mean, are we talking about that these companies that are involved in this, that they are American companies or are they global companies?
So what you're saying is you think they want this new group to be forged so that we could have what? A polarity? Us against them and make more money in that situation? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it certainly appears that the sanctions against Russia closed the West off. Didn't hurt the BRICS nations or the Russians at all, but they have isolated the West nations, especially the United States and the U.S. dollar. So I am wondering at the very top, who is running this and who does it benefit?
Yeah, me too. I'm telling you, I'm perplexed watching the stupidity of the decisions which are causing the countries that we say are our enemies to become stronger and more unified. But maybe it's just me. What do I know, you know? I'm just some guy over here doing the news in America. In a matter of days, by the way, there's going to be 1,000 U.S. troops in Gaza, obviously there to do the bidding of Netanyahu. Now, mind you, they're not going to be in Gaza proper. They're going to be on a dock or a pier that's apparently connected to Gaza. Duh. Well, Congressman Matt Gaetz, of all people, is asking, wait, isn't that the same thing? Here we go.
You guys seem to be sort of saying that boots on a pier connected to the ground, connected to service members shooting into Gaza, doesn't count as boots on the ground?
It does not.
I think you're going to find the American people have a different perspective on that. And if we're going to have people shooting into Gaza, we probably should have a vote on that.
So if somebody's going to shoot at one of our troops, he's not going to shoot at him if he's 20 feet away. He'll only shoot at him if he's 19 feet away at the beginning of the dock. Yeah, hey, you know what? Pasta, that makes perfect sense to me. Not.
Yeah, well, I do like the move by Matt Gaetz objecting somehow, even though he's been for, I think, Israel's occupation of Gaza. This was good politically for him, but at least somebody is speaking up, like, hey, what's going on? But we also, I think, have to look at the subcontractors, who the NGOs that bought into this pier and what it's about. It's very, very fishy, Rick, and there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I don't think this is about getting humanitarian aid into Gaza.
Of
I mean, if they
not.
Really wanted to get it in, they would let it get it in through Rafah and the other ways. So what is this about? Is this about dispersing all the Palestinians once and for all, getting them using the pier to do that? Or is this about seizing the natural gas and the oil that could possibly be out there? This is fishy. And it the enemy has yet to reveal itself, as they would say in The Godfather, so goes in the pier in Gaza.
Mel, isn't this, if nothing else, a political maneuver by the Biden administration to say, look, we're putting this pier here so we can help the people of Gaza and we can send them some humanitarian aid. And look at us, we're doing such a good thing. Watch, I'm patting myself on the back, except I probably can't do that if I was Biden, because I can barely move. But I see political motivations, if nothing else, don't you?
Yeah, but again, like Pasta said, I agree with him. $350 million to build a pier right off of Gaza. But only a year or 2 years ago, Joe Biden was talking about having with Xi, in fact, and about the Belt and Road Initiative and about that land and about having something from India all the way to Europe. And if you map it out on the map, it looks like that pier would be a pretty good place to have a middle road between India and Europe. So again, you do have to look at who benefits, just like with everything else going on planet Earth. Like I said, we have a parent company of billionaire oligarchs that are manipulating the entire world right now to their gain and our loss. And there's a lot more of us. And we really need to start asking for answers and what this pier is about. When has America built a $350 million pier in the middle of a foreign nation and then broken it down 90 days later? Because that's what they're saying. And that is not true. And people need to dig into who's involved here, who are the contractors, and like Pasta said, who benefits, who's running that port? And we don't have any answers. And I believe that there should have to be a vote about all of this.
Fair point. All right. Now, given the way you guys speak, I have a sense that the next person I'm going to tell you about is someone that is dear and near to your hearts. Let me tell you a little bit about Hillary Clinton. She's back in the news. She's apparently exerting herself back into the news, calling all her buddies to tell their buddies in the media, I want to be interviewed. And she has been interviewed again a lot recently. She's kind of wanting to talk about Gaza and the Gaza story by reaching out to members of the media, reminding them that she's a Middle East expert. Let me say that again. She is a Middle East expert, self-described, of course. Here's the point she wanted to make when she reached out to him.
With respect to the Middle East, they don't know that under the bringing together of the Israelis and the Palestinians by my husband, the then Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, the then head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, then the Palestinian Authority, Yasser Arafat, an offer was made to the Palestinians for a state. On, 96% of the existing territory occupied by the Palestinians, with 4% of Israel to be given to reach 100% of the amount of territory that was hoped for. And this offer was made, and if Yasser Arafat had accepted it, there would have been a Palestinian state now for about 24 years. It's one of the great tragedies of history.
So, long story short, I'm a genius. My husband is also a genius. And if they had listened to us, those damn Palestinians wouldn't be in the condition they're in. And they would have had their own country by now. They would have flourished and everything would have been just perfectly copacetic. That's what she says. And of course, she's right. She's Hillary Clinton, right, Mel?
Oh, yeah, right. That's interesting coming from somebody after what they did in Libya is one of the worst international crimes that ever happened. And she's never been held accountable. But the truth about that is that Ehud Barak was murdered. Yasser Arafat was replaced. And everything that she's talking about has nothing to do with real history and what really happened at that time. And then all the billions and billions and billions of dollars that were invested into the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative, all this stuff, because her and her husband were such peacemakers around the world. Well, I would say pretty much look at from when they were there to where we are now and what's going on. And I think she's vying because she knows Biden can't win and they're going to switch him out. She hopes it's her. It will not be her. She didn't win in 2016 because people just don't like her. They don't buy her. And being out there in the media is just showing again why.
She's a Middle East expert, though, Pasta. She's a Middle East expert, right?
We're hearing that this imaginary deal was written down on a napkin somewhere when she and Ehud and Bill hit, had some some good lunch somewhere in Jerusalem, and this is what they came up
with. But these are AIPAC talking points, right? These are AIPAC talking points.
I mean, that's all they are. Yeah. There's no proof behind this. You know, I can go and look at the Balfour Declaration and show you it's real, that even before there was an Israeli state, there were plans to have an Israeli state. What she's talking about is completely nonsense. It is just AIPAC talking points. And I don't understand why these people just won't go away. How could we miss you, Hillary, if you don't go away? And the mainstream media just shoving these people down our throats. And I don't know what their mindset is, Rick. What do they do? If you keep continuously telling the lie, it becomes a truth. No matter how much she spits all this stuff, it's not going to forgive the Israelis for their sins. It's not going to absolve them of what's going on there today. The genocide that's taking place today. No matter what they say, it's not going away. Yeah. This is a tragedy right over here. And we need to be speaking up about what's going on and stopping the bombing immediately. Yeah, but yet Hillary Clinton, here she comes.
Yeah, and your point is a good one because
I want to correct something.
We're down to 15 seconds. If you can close us out, that'll be good.
I meant Yitzhak Rabin. I'm sorry. I said the wrong person. Yitzhak Rabin.
No worries. I just wish, and to your point, Pasta, I do wish that they would challenge these people a little bit more, and especially in the case of Hillary Clinton. They don't. They simply roll over. My thanks to both of you. Good show, good conversation, smart stuff. That's our show. Remember, always look outside your own boxes. Truths don't live in boxes, neither do we. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll see you next time.